Good morning. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Hey, Linda, are you keeping warm?
Hey, good morning, Mary Charlotte. Well, trying to.
What's happening? Let's talk first about the natural gas situation.
Yes, well, I think you had a great overview of it in the news. But when we look at it in the political context of, okay, that we actually have plenty of natural gas in New Mexico. Farmington, there's just underground fields of natural gas, but this seems to be a transmission problem from Texas. But I think in the context of the legislature and all of us, we really need to continue to be looking at renewable energy resources and those resources that we don't have to get from a pipeline coming into our house. And there are quite a few bills in the legislature looking at how we can give more tax credits for solar and wind energy, how we can set up metering systems so that people who do have solar and wind can put that energy back into PNM. But it's still not big. It's still not really out there that we need to do something about natural gas and oil.
It's interesting. Another part of it, I think, is solar. I have one room in my house that was actually built with using passive solar. The heat hasn't kicked on yet this winter. Even yesterday,
wow,
it was hot in there. And when you think about how easy that is to do in New Mexico, the idea of having building codes that take advantage of our sun, just simply solar resources, it's a total no-brainer. Are there any bills along those lines?
Well, I haven't seen those building codes ones because, I mean, a lot of the cities and the counties are addressing that, at least in places like Albuquerque and Santa Fe. We still got a number of days before bills can't be introduced. It's 30 days in the 60-day session and 15 days in the 30-day session. So we could see some more bills. It's just after this crisis yesterday where public schools are having to shut down, all the colleges and universities are shut down, and thousands and thousands of people do not have natural gas. It should wake us up to the fact that we really need to do more. But we're working with an administration who's focusing, it looks to me like, primarily on natural gas and oil and making it easier for those industries and cheaper for those industries to continue. And until we, the consumer, really feel the pain of high costs, it doesn't look like we're gonna do much.
It is interesting to be at a situation where, at least in this country, we're kind of on the very beginning of that curve, and the people who get the potential of wind and solar in a state like New Mexico, it's old news and it's obvious, but for the rest of the population, including legislators, it's sort of still, as you say, a kind of foreign, weird idea that hasn't quite taken hold yet.
Yeah, and we've got great legislators here in Santa Fe, Senator Wirth, Representative Egoff. They've been doing these bills for several years, the different kinds of energy bills, and Senator Fishman from down in Las Cruces. So, but we just don't know if we're going to get any of them passed, and we're up against a whole different philosophy now in the approach of the legislature and this administration.
And, of course, if the result of this is to make it easier to drill for natural gas, then you have the problem of hydraulic fracturing, which has the great danger of putting chemicals into the water, into the ground that leach into the water supply.
And I think our recent drought shows that we really need to protect our groundwater supplies, because we're not going to be getting it necessarily from snow, at least this year anyway.
Yeah, the 4 inches we've had so far.
Right. Even with this terrible storm, I'm not sure that they got very many inches up on the on the mountains where we really need it.
So is the legislature working today?
Yes, they are. I mean, all other government is shut down. The county, I know, is shut down. Cities and counties throughout the state are shut down, as state including state government. But the legislature is still hard at work.
So our legislators, our citizen legislators, hard at work. So what else besides the natural gas situation? There is, as always, a focus on health care.
Right. And this year, we're going to have some bills that deal with the federal health care reform law. And one of the most important areas of concern is through this health insurance exchange. The federal law requires that every state address this issue in some way, this exchange issue. We can either participate with the feds and let them handle our insurance exchange, or we can create state exchanges, or we can create regional exchanges. And we have to have that exchange in place by 2013. And an insurance exchange is just really a place, not necessarily a building, but a place where people can go to look for different insurance packages, different insurance plans with different kinds of benefits, and purchase those at different prices. And if you're below a certain income, then the feds, through our tax dollars, will subsidize your premium payment. So we've got to get a structure in place this legislative session to start working on how are we in New Mexico going to comply with that federal law to create an exchange.
And that is basically a kind of bureaucratic challenge to do something which is relatively simple and transparent.
Well, and there are a lot of unknowns yet. We have a $1 million planning grant that we received back in December from the federal government to look at all the areas of the state. What do the consumers want? What do the providers want? What do the insurance companies want? What kind of IT systems do we need? All of this information will be gathered over the next 6 or 8 months through this planning grant so that we can have some information to create that exchange, but at least to fill in the substance of that exchange. But legally, we need to get some kind of structure. And we already have competing bills in the legislature. We have the full-blown, very comprehensive how we're going to do an exchange, and then we have the skeletal how are we going to create an exchange. So it's going to be interesting to see which approach the legislature wants to take.
Any hints so far?
Well, I think there's going to be an inclination to go with the skeletal structure so that we can allow this planning grant to fill in a lot of the details about what our citizens want. And also, we're still waiting for many of the federal regulations, so it's really hard to create all the details of our exchange plan without knowing what the feds are going to want from it. Because I heard that for every page of law, there's going to be 100 pages of federal regulation on how to implement that law, and we don't have a lot of those pages yet about how to implement the law and what should our law look like.
Just out of curiosity, it's hard for me to understand health insurance as a consumer product. Like, why would one person want anything different from another person? You want to be covered when you're sick, and what are the differences?
Well, I think it's about affordability, or how much do you want to pay for your insurance? I mean, those of us who are lucky enough to be covered by a governmental system, particularly our people in Congress who have the best insurance in the world, we get a full package of insurance with all kinds of benefits and coverage and low deductibles. And then people who have to buy insurance out on individual policies, where many of my friends have $5,000 and $10,000 deductibles just so they can afford to to have a catastrophic insurance policy. And that's how the exchanges are going to work. There will be different benefit packages within those exchanges so that you buy what you can afford, or if you're lucky and can afford more, you buy what you want.
But, I mean, what does that mean? It's like, okay, I'll take a kidney transplant, but not an appendectomy.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Well, I think we're seeing that in Arizona right now under their Medicaid coverage, where they were denying transplants to people because it's too expensive. You know, when we passed this insurance reform, that's what we passed, insurance reform. We did not pass healthcare access reform. If we'd have done that, it would have looked like a totally different bill. We just assured that the insurance companies in America will continue because everybody's going to have to buy an insurance product from them.
We're talking to Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. And, of course, that mandate has been challenged in court, and it's not clear that it's going to stand.
Well, it's interesting because different appellate courts federal appeals courts throughout the country have ruled differently about the constitutionality of the HPACA bill, as we call it. And obviously it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and we'll see. But the thing about those challenges, most of them have been based on the mandatory nature of individual people in America having to buy insurance policies. They haven't really gone after, in most of those lawsuits, whether the other mandates that go with the health insurance reform, you know, things like you can't be denied coverage because of a pre-existing condition, that your kids, if they live in your house, can get insurance up to, I think it's 26 years old.
Right.
Things like that are still standing, and the main attack has been on whether each of us has to buy an insurance policy. So we'll see. It could be that we go through all this effort to create these exchanges in the states and get everything ready, and then it's unconstitutional. But we have to continue to do it just in case the law stays intact.
Right, right. So let's see.
There are other healthcare issues.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Yes. Well, there are a number of healthcare bills, as there always are in the legislative session, and a lot of them are provider-based. We have quite a few bills dealing with nursing issues. In fact, yesterday we had over 200 nurses and student nurses from the different colleges and universities up at the legislature walking around talking to their legislators, learning the process. And one of the important bills that they're working on is to create a system that will integrate all the schools of nursing programs so that it's really easy. If you go to Santa Fe Community College and you get your associate degree in nursing, that all those credits are going to apply and transfer to, say, UNM or New Mexico State so that you can get your bachelor's of nursing.
Nice.
And then if you get your bachelor's, all those are going to apply so you can get your master's and your PhD if you want to. And those are important bills to coordinate. There are bills to mandate that a healthcare provider disclose to a guardian information before healthcare decisions are made. There's amendments to the Medical Malpractice Act, and that applies primarily to physicians because we have a cap on the amount of insurance that a physician has to buy and then has to pay into a certain fund, whereas other healthcare providers have to pay for higher levels of insurance because they're not in that fund. And those are controversies that come up every session, and the trial lawyers don't want the... They want the caps raised so that people have to buy higher levels of insurance. So there's all kinds of controversy around providers. We've also got a bill to collect data on the healthcare workforce. That's a problem. We don't really know, out of the 16,000 nurses that practice in New Mexico, how many of them are in hospitals, how many are in home health, how many are in clinics. in the doctors. We don't know how many are doing primary care. We have a huge primary care shortage. So how do we get more people into primary care? Well, first we need the data on how many are really in it. And that there's a bill there to collect this workforce data, which is very important.
Very interesting. So all of that is happening at the legislature on this very, very cold day. Any school, public school issues that we should talk about?
Well, there are over 81 bills introduced dealing with the public schools, different areas of reform, because, of course, that's one of the reasons that I think we're going to we have a new PED secretary, public education secretary, and she has a background of reform in both, I think, Florida and Texas, I think was the other place. And there's going to be an agenda of reform, because we've put a lot of money over the last 8 years, 7 or 8 years, into public education. And a lot of people in the state don't feel like we've really improved it. So there are a number of reform bills coming out. One that I think a lot of people are going to support is third grade reading proficiency.
Right.
Where we check and test kids in the third grade and see if they can read. And if they can't, we don't let them go to the fourth grade. Now, there is some disagreement about that, because in the past, parents have been able to say, no, I want my child to go on to the next grade level. But this would say, well, no, we've got to keep these kids here and try to get them able to read.
Are they dealing with the fact that we have third graders in New Mexico who can't read and trying to study why that could possibly be?
Well, in actuality, there is the push for the early childhood education, where we prepare kids in pre-K programs in both public schools and in private childcare settings to get them ready to learn. And that's not necessarily about learning your ABCs and your numbers when you're 3 years old in a pre-K program, but it's more about preparing kids to learn. I mean, those first 5 years, all the research shows that those are the most formative years. And so you've got to stimulate kids to learn and help them be in environments that stimulate them. And if they're sitting at home watching TV when they're 2, 3, and 4, they're not getting that kind of stimulation.
Well, all of that is fine and good, and it's very important, and it's been shown, the research has been shown to back that up. But there are plenty of places on planet Earth where six-year-olds go to the first grade and they learn to read.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that, you know, with or without pre-K, that isn't happening in New Mexico, I mean, what are the reasons? Are they, you know, malnourished and they can't? I mean, what's going on?
Well, you do have a lot of social reasons. If you're from a poor family where you haven't gotten stimulation for those 5 or 6 years, and that's not to say that just because you're poor you're not getting it, but if you've got multiple problems within your family situation, when you go to the first grade, those problems haven't ended. So we haven't really, we cannot expect the schools to do everything. They might have the best teacher and the best school environment to learn, but if things aren't working at home, if they even have a home, we have a lot of homeless children in New Mexico, then it makes learning really hard. And we have to also fund all of those programs and help all of those parents and families to function better so that their kids can learn in school. And do we know why that our kids aren't all learning in the first grade? We know that the numbers that kids of Hispanic ethnicity are not graduating at the same rates as Anglo kids. Well, what's that about? We have a lot of data, but we really haven't solved all the problems that are beyond what's happening in the public schools.
Linda Siegel is our legislative correspondent. She's with us every Friday throughout the legislature, and as the legislature goes on, we will probably add another day as well. Linda Siegel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like to welcome Bridget Lindquist. She is the executive director of the Española Valley Humane Society. Welcome.
Mary Charlotte, it's so good to visit with you. You're the best way to start my day.
So I just wanted to give you a couple of minutes to let people know what's going on. The animal shelter over there in Española is essentially out of gas.
You know what happened is the heat for the entire city is not available. And I'm not certain why that's the case or what PNM is doing to correct it. I only know that yesterday at about 10 in the morning, we lost our gas heat supply to the shelter, which, as you might imagine, is kind of critical, especially in weather like this. What happened after the heat went out for the entire city is because we simply managed the facility on behalf of the city of Española, city officials came in and turned off our water as a preventative measure. They didn't want the pipes to burst within the shelter as it got colder and colder. By 11 o'clock, the water in the bowls for the dogs had frozen over. So we kind of quickly reached crisis by about noon. And at that point, Nina Chiatasso circulated an email to the broader community simply indicating we were without heat and asking for help to temporarily foster all the animals in our care. Meanwhile, I happened to be in Santa Fe that morning, so she called me, and there was a race to Home Depot. It felt like the Wild West, you know, when they go out to put steak right in the ground. I rushed down to Home Depot, and I swear to heavens, I was battling people trying to get the last propane patio heaters because all the electric space heaters were purchased. Everything in Española had been gone for a few days. And I trucked seven of those up along with 20-gallon propane tanks to the shelter, and we began the process of constructing those. We had those in place by about 3, 4 o'clock. But in the intervening time, in response to Nina's email, it felt like hundreds of people reached out. We had dozens upon dozens of people coming every half hour to the shelter, just showing up to say, okay, what cat can I take? What dog can I take? Here's some water. Here are blankets. It was one of those really inspiring moments as a director. You forget that there's this larger community willing to come whenever you cry for help.
That is so great. Now, is there anything that the larger community can do for you right now?
Well, I'm glad to say that after we had heat restored to a reasonable temperature within the shelter, the city came back and turned on our water at 5 o'clock. We then heard that the elderly might be evacuated from some of the local homes, and we expected that they wouldn't want to leave without their animals being cared for. So we quickly we spent the next few hours cleaning the kennels and the cages. The shelter's now as clean as it could possibly be, and we're expecting to receive maybe some emergency-owned animals at the shelter over the next few days. We also know that animal control will continue to bring in animals that they find roaming about. So we could always use additional temporary foster homes for those animals. If you're interested in helping in that capacity, just call the shelter at 753-8662. Give them your name and phone number and what species you'd be willing to temporarily house. And we'll reach out to you as we need that.
Do you need any animal food or just financial donations?
You know, I hate to say it, but financial donations would be a godsend. Home Depot had no reason to give us a discount on those heaters, and between that and the tanks, it amounted to about $1,400 that we don't really have. So I just put it on a credit card. And if you can,
that's the American way.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. I felt like, yeah. So if you could donate, no matter how modest the sum, I promise it'll go to that outlay, and it would very much help. I think a Los Alamos business will be bringing down full propane tanks this morning. So we don't need any more gas. We're good on water. We're actually able to begin laundering soil, blankets, and towels. So we're good on that front, too. I just think any moral support, you know, we have a Facebook presence. Feel free to post on that. But really, the best has already happened. I mean, I cannot believe that in a span of three and a half hours, all 120, 130 of our animals were safely in warm homes. That is just a miracle.
Bridget Lindquist is the director of the Española Valley Humane Society, and they're on the web at evalleyshelter.org. And what's the phone number up there?
Area code 505-753-8662. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your help and support, Mary Charlotte.
Bridget, thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe. We're going to take another just quick break. We'll be right back with Rob DeWalt. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's with the Paso Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's here with us every Friday, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what was the temperature when you woke up this morning out in Pecos?
It was really not that bad. It was about one. It was, like, yesterday it was minus 18.9 without the wind chill factor, so it was pretty cold out there, and I'm paying for it. I'm sick. I went out and started my car night before last. It got down to 19, so I went out and started my car at like 9 o'clock just to kind of get the slushy juices flowing.
19 seems warm now.
Minus 19. And so I got a little cold, but it's done wonders for my radio voice. So.
The sexy voice.
And you have, how cold was it in Santa Fe?
Sort of in the zeros.
I looked at, they had some newscast, it was a local newscast last night, and it was putting up ridiculous temperatures for Pecos, like minus 31. I don't know if that's true or not, you know. Everything in my house, and I've got a lot of thermometers in my house, said about minus 19, minus 18.9. So minus 31 might have been with wind chill, but it was still pretty darn cold.
It's cold. Well, I've been fighting off a virus for the last 3.5 weeks, and I'm waiting for spring.
Yes.
I remember February where crocuses came out.
Oh, crocus. That's one of my favorite heavy metal bands.
It's also a nice little flower that comes out in some places in April, but in Santa Fe it has been known to come out in February, and we hope it does very soon. All right, what's going on this weekend and this coming week?
Lots of live music going on this week, and also some theater. We've got Benchwarmers 10th edition.
Benchwarmers, cover of the Paso Tiempo.
Cover of the Paso Tiempo.
With the fabulous Elena Zachary. Who else is on it?
It's Nicholas Ballas, you know, from Cowgirl Barbecue fame. And let's see, there's one more person, and I'm going to say this person's name because it would be unfair not to.
Yes.
If I can find page 6, which is always where the index is for the Paso Tiempo. Elena Zachary, Nicholas Ballas, and Paul Walski are on the cover.
Excellent.
And there's a great story on page 28 in today's Paso Tiempo. It's a cover story. It's a great story.
And Benchwarmers is a series of short plays that happens every year.
Yeah, and there's always a bench on the stage.
And there's always a bench on the stage.
And that is continuing through the 25th of February at the Santa Fe Playhouse. If you go to santafeplayhouse.org or call 988-4262, you can reserve tickets and find out when all the performances are.
And it's produced by KSFR's own Dan Garrity.
Yay!
Yay.
What else? Not necessarily performance, but there's a great book signing today, or tonight, actually. Eric Herm, who's the author of Son of a Farmer, Child of the Earth, A Path to Agriculture's Higher Consciousness.
Yes, we had him on the air yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
I missed it.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
His book is wonderful.
It is. You know, I found it a little bit doom and gloom. I mean, it was important to get all of that information across, but...
Well, it's sort of like saying, you know, well, you know, a story about the Holocaust is kind of doom and gloom, but you have to get the information across. We are in a big, big problem
no,
where agriculture
no,
ab- is concerned.
Absolutely, but calling it A Path to Agriculture's Higher Consciousness, I felt it was delivered with a bit of a heavy hand. But the information in here is invaluable.
The information is
fabulous. Even for every, like, food activist or food snob who thinks they know everything that's going on in the agricultural community, there's a lot of information in here, rainfall statistics, soil degradation, and some really, you know, interesting anecdotes about his life as a West Texas farmer. Being from West Texas, I can tell you that it's true. There's a lot of dusty plains, and there's a lot of cotton sometimes, I think, where it probably shouldn't be.
that is another question. But, I mean, I think if I may say so, the higher consciousness piece, even for those of us who may be slightly allergic to too much of that kind of lingo, is about the idea of seeing soil as alive, plants as alive, mm-hmm. animals as alive, and all of them as being part of the same system, as opposed to seeing them as commodities.
Yeah, it's biodynamism. It's not. It shouldn't be. an economic structure so much as a, I don't know,
a life-sustaining phenomenon.
And I was trying to put it in a way that didn't sound too New Agey. Although Eric Rehm is, he will admit that he's a redneck and a hippie, a cowboy and an Indian. You know, I mean, his thought process
as are we all in some ways.
Absolutely, some just show certain cards more than others. You know.
And he's also speaking tomorrow at the farmers market.
Oh, cool.
From I think 11 to 1 or 10:30 to 1.
10:30 to 1.
Sponsored by the Permaculture Institute. And where is he speaking today?
He is speaking at Collected Works at 6 p.m. tonight.
Excellent.
Over there on Galisteo Street. Love the new Collected Works location, by the way. I could wander through the art book section for like an hour just perusing. Speaking of art books and things like that, on Saturday at Dwight Hackett Projects over there on All Trades Road, local artist and songwriter Terry Allen is having a show called Dugout 2, Hold On to the House, and Voidville. These are selections from these installations. And there's mixed media paintings, there's pastels. Terry Allen is I believe, is going to be there. There's a reception from 3 to 5 on Saturday. That's up through March 12th. I interviewed Terry in today's Pasatiempo. On Sunday at Collected Works, the artist is Terry Allen and
Dave Hickey.
And Dave Hickey, who's a great art and cultural critic, are going to be talking about the book, Terry Allen, which is kind of a compendium of his work. It's very broad, but it's a beautifully assembled book, and they're going to be discussing that 2 o'clock on Sunday at Collected Works Bookstore.
Excellent.
And what else? Ooh, Beats on the Basin. This is going to be so cool. If I wasn't such a wussy about the cold, I might go up. Ski Santa Fe's outdoor concert series continues with DJs St. John and Federici from noon to 3 p.m.
on What's the temperature on the top of the ski basin?
I don't even want to know.
I don't either.
I don't even want to know.
I kind of do.
I mean, I do. You know, it's weird because when you're up there and you're kind of in the groove and perhaps if you have a beer or two in you, the cold doesn't bother you so much, you know, especially people who are used to skiing, you know, and I don't ski. So it's like, I don't see any reason to slide down a hill with planks on my legs and being like intentionally cold. So, but I don't think you need a lift ticket to go to this, or a season pass, but you got to hike up to Totemos Mid Mountain Bar, which is, I think, above 10,000 feet. So, you know, it's a good time. And the, you know, your lift ticket or your season pass serves as your cover. But if you hike up there, I'm sure they're not going to turn you away if you buy some of their lovely libations and food.
Yes. Santa Fe ski area. I just found on the weather. Currently 13 degrees.
Oh, that's, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. Anyway.
Let's see.
Is it negative 13?
Negative, no. Well, maybe it is. Anyway. Up there, it's got to be colder. Also on Saturday, Chuck Pyle, guitarist and songwriter, is performing at 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the Santa Fe Performance Exchange, formerly Mike's Music Exchange.
Yes.
Out there in El Dorado, 7 Caliente Road, El Dorado. You can call 466-3116 for information, or you can go to their website.
When I was in college in a cold northeastern town,
Northeastern?
Really? Northeastern, yes. We had an institution called February Club, or Feb Club for short. And Feb Club meant that every single night of February, there was a party in somebody's dorm room, and party basically meant libations of the alcoholic nature.
Oh.
And you just had to ask somebody, where's the Feb Club party tonight? And there was always something to do. And it was because February was so cold and so depressing and
so awful.
You
couldn't go out. You'd order pizza, and everyone would sit around and, you know,
and not do their homework.
And do what you know, some college kids like to do.
Exactly.
Let's see. What else? Ooh, Reuben Hirsch and Vera John Steiner, the authors, signed copies of Loving and Hating Mathematics.
I had them on the air, too. They're fabulous.
Now, I didn't read this book. There's a story, there's a subtext about it on page 16 in today's Pasatiempo. I didn't read this book, but were you like a mathematics lover when you were in college?
I have to admit, no, not in college. No, during Feb Club. I did take calculus, but I didn't get any further than that. But I found that I love math. I love math as a kid. I was better at math and science than at English and humanities because they made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that book is wonderful. And what's great about it is that it's about the culture and emotional nature and basically stories of math and mathematicians.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like A Beautiful Mind kind of stuff?
There's not one drama. It sort of has lots of stories of people's lives. There's a lot of women in it. There's stories about black mathematicians and discrimination and things like that, and different methods of teaching and why some kids end up hating math, why some kids end up loving math, what it was like for people who become mathematicians to discover it when they were little kids. And you don't have to know anything about math. There's virtually no, like, equations.
Oh, that's wild.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're speaking... what's the time again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it 3 p.m. at
Garcia Street Books. At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock. And that would be on Garcia Street.
And also today at 12:15, they're at the Santa Fe Institute, and that's open to the public, too. You can go up there.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, at 12:15 at the Santa Fe Institute?
Yes, indeed.
Hmm.
Just saying.
What about, have you ever heard of the Santa Fe Harmony Center Drum Choir? I haven't.
No.
Okay.
That sounds...
They're going to be doing some African rhythms from 7 to 8:30 tonight at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living.
Excellent.
And if you go to santafeharmonycenter.com, you can find out more information about that. Sounds interesting. That's the first time I've seen an event like that mentioned in the paper or in Pasatiempo. There's also this great songwriter from Austin by way of Georgia and Tennessee. His name is Pee Wee Moore. And he's, you know, kind of a country singer-songwriter,
Singer-songwriter.
That particular brand, kind of outlaw country, the Elis, the Ray Wiley Hubbard types. He does a great cover of actually artist Terry Allen's 1979 Vietnam War-themed heartbreaker ballad, Blue Asian Reds for Roadrunner. And he's going to be with his three-piece band, and this is great, the Awful Dreadful Snakes, tonight at the Cowgirl Barbecue at 8 p.m. And really low ticket price. If you call 982-2565 or go to the Cowgirl Barbecue website, you can find out what music is playing every night of the week.
And I just got a message from the control room that people were asking for the number of the Española Valley shelter. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, get your pencils ready. It is 753-8662. There we have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! Let's see, what else? 44 Years of Archaeology at Cedar Mesa, Utah. It's a lecture by, if I pronounce this guy's name wrong, I'm so sorry, William D. Leip, at 6 p.m. at Hotel Santa Fe on Monday the 7th. And those archaeology lectures are a lot more interesting than they sound, than they look on paper.
Really?
Yeah, I've been to a few. You know, it's one of those things I geeked out on. I wanted to be in Indiana Jones when I was a kid, you know, but I didn't look good with a whip.
You know, there archaeologists, Indiana Jones, aren't there other role models besides sort of goofy movies?
I'm sure there are. I mean, I'm sure that there's some cartoons, some comic strips from the 50s. And
with archaeologists?
I mean, there's Mark Trail, but he was more of like a, I don't know, what was he, a naturalist perhaps?
Never heard of him.
Mark Trail? Never heard of Mark Trail?
No.
Wow. I'm going to bring you some Mark Trail. Have you heard of Tintin in Tibet?
No.
Oh, dear.
Tintin, like...
I'm going to bring you some...
Wait, with the dog Snowy?
Yeah.
Who looks just like my dog Milk?
Yeah.
Ah, yes, okay. That one. Super Crazy Love... Oh, wait a minute. So did you finish with the archaeology?
Yes.
Okay. Super Crazy Love Music on Saturday, February 6th at 2 o'clock at the Scottish Rite Center. Chamber Music, Reflecting Aspects of Love by Handel, Brahms, Klughart, Vaughan Williams, Britten, Noel Coward, and Leonard Bernstein, featuring guest vocalist Krista River with Elena Saposi, Viola, Pamela Eppel on oboe, and Deborah Ayers on piano. Tickets at the door. For more information, you can call the Serenata of Santa Fe, 989-7988.
There's a lot of archaeology lectures going on this week. There's another one on Tuesday.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. From 3 to 4 p.m. at the School of Advanced Research Boardroom over there at Garcia Street. A Very Special Place, The Geography and Archaeology of Santa Fe by Jason Shapiro. That's from 3 to 4 p.m. There's no charge for that. You can get on the website or call 954-7200 to find out more information about that. All these things, it's unfortunate that a lot of these take place during the day when I'm at work. But Oh, so Albuquerque, you know, Grupo Fantasma is playing. Have you ever heard these guys?
Grupo Fantasma, what do they play?
Latin funk jazz.
Uh-huh.
And it's a big orchestra, it's a huge orchestra. And it's 8 p.m. on Wednesday the 9th at the El Rey Theater in Albuquerque. That's going to be a great show.
Excellent. Yeah. So there is an opening tonight from 4 to 6. Philippe Reintjens Photography, Pattern and Form, a solo exhibition through the end of the month. The gallery at Wells Fargo at 241 Washington Street.
I know we always talk movies towards the end, but I want to mention this new web-based series that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
They just launched their first episode of the series, I think, day before yesterday or yesterday. If you go to indietheseries.com.
How do you spell indie?
I-N-D-I-E-T-H-E.
Yeah, I got the series, but indie, it could be I-N-D-Y. Yeah.
No, that's how you say indie, like Indiana Jones. But no, it's indie, I-N-D-I-E. So indietheseries.com. It's hilarious. It's basically a parody of filmmakers, indie filmmakers, young, tragically hip indie filmmakers.
Okay.
So go check that out.
On Sunday, Poetry for Brigid, Rochelle Woods and Juliana Peterson on accordion and voice, poetry and song in honor of Brigid and the Promise of Spring. I'd like to see that. Saturday, February 6th at 3 o'clock. It's part of the Teatro Paraguas ongoing poetry and music series, Son de Domingo. And Teatro Paraguas is at teatroparaguas.org, 424-1601.
Did we mention the Ives String Quartet?
No.
We didn't. The Ives String Quartet, based in the San Francisco Bay Area, takes its name from the American iconoclast composer Charles Ives.
As I always say, the only famous graduate of my high school.
Yeah.
Truly.
At 8 p.m. tonight at the Great Hall of St. John's College, they're going to be performing music by another American hit. Okay. Quincy Porter, his Quartet No. 3 from 1930 is going to be performed, and some other stuff, I believe. And that's 8 p.m. Friday tonight at the Great Hall. So call 984-6000, and you'll get much better information than I just gave you.
We're here with Rob DeWall, speaking of the arts. And as always, every Wednesday at El Farol, Café Mambo on Canyon Road at 9 o'clock. Best of salsa, bachata, merengue, cha-cha-cha, reggaeton, etc. 21 and over.
Hey, happy year of the rabbit, by the way.
Bunny.
Hey. Actually, I agree with you. It's very delicious. I was born in the year of the rooster.
I don't know what year I was born in. Well, I mean, I know what year, but well, I don't know what the animal was.
We'll look it up later.
All right.
What else is going on? Oh, there's a lot of things involving love because Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah, it's kind of early for love, isn't it?
No.
It's a week from Monday.
I know, but see, love is like a full-time occupation.
You know? That's true.
This is just an overtime day. So, but St. John's College Dean's Lecture, Reinventing Love, An Introduction to Plato's Phaedrus. I had a cat named Phaedrus once.
Nice.
Now, that is by John F. Cornell. At 3:15 on Wednesday the 9th in the Junior Common Room in Peterson Student Center over there at St. John's College on Camino de Cruz Blanca. What else is going on?
I'll tell you what else is going on. We are, I had on the air yesterday the Norwegian ambassador to the United States, and he is going to be in Santa Fe on Wednesday the 9th of February from noon to 2 at the Santa Fe Convention Center. And he's going to be giving a talk and having a discussion. But the talk is called The Arctic is Melting and the Desert is Burning, Impacts Locally and Globally, Impacts of Climate Change. And, of course, in Norway, climate change is not a debate because the whole country is melting. and he is very articulate and very personable, and you can RSVP by calling 989-7262. You can also go to newenergyeconomy.org and check out more there. But Mayor Koss will be there, and it should be very interesting. I haven't seen that there's a charge for it, so you'll have to ask when you call. But it may be just a free event sponsored by Audubon, New Mexico, New Energy Economy, and the New Mexico Environmental Law Center, who are all terrific people.
Tons of art openings on Friday. There's one at the Santa Fe Public Library. There's no reception for that. There's a reception tonight at Peterson Cody Gallery on Palace Avenue for a group exhibit of figure of paintings. Marigold Arts on Canyon Road is having a Winter in New Mexico paintings by Robert Highsmith show. Reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Blue Rain Gallery downtown on Lincoln Avenue is having a group show of sculpture. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. David Richard Contemporary over there on Lincoln Avenue. Abstracted Bodies, a group show of paintings, drawings, photographs, and sculpture. Reception tonight at 5 o'clock. And that's up through the 26th of February. Art Services Gallery on Cordova Road, Red Shirts, Portraits from the Battle of Bangkok, May 2010. Reception tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. I believe this gallery is right down the street.
From?
Us.
Ah. And tonight at Gig at 7:30, Bruce Dunlap plays. You can check out gigsantafe.com.
Manitou Galleries is having a show, Yin Yang Bling, group show of Chinese paintings. Grand opening of Palace Jewelers and a reception from 5 to 7:30 p.m. tonight through February 18th.
And the fabulous Mary Lynn LeBlanc called the ski area, and it is indeed 13 degrees above zero.
Above zero.
Above zero, which is about what it is here.
So it's a nice, toasty day out
there. Yeah, it's positively balmy.
You know, I took my dogs in. I brought my dogs in from outside, and I thought I'd gotten all the little snow and ice chunks off of their paws, which you really have to be careful of and do, otherwise it can cause bleeding.
Yes.
If you don't. And so I was sitting there, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was watching them sleep, and I was like, wow, my dog's nails are really white and shiny. And I got up real close and realized that there was ice embedded underneath every one of her claws.
So it wasn't that they'd been using nail polish.
No. Apparently there's no dog salon in my neighborhood.
Guy and Madeline on a Park Bench. That's a movie that starts at the CCA. The Legend of Pale Male continues. Wake Up, the film, a true story. Nanette, which is that movie about the orangutan. And I think Tiny Furniture, is that continuing? Yeah, it appears to be continuing. And this film, I did an interview on it, and it's called Enemies of the People. It opens tonight at the Screen. Have you seen that?
No.
It's actually, I mean, nobody's going to go if I tell you what it's about, but it's about the Cambodian genocide, but it's a surprisingly fascinating, watchable movie. Because the investigative journalist who decided to investigate the Cambodian genocide and try to understand why his family was killed, does it in the most humane and compassionate way possible. It's beyond imagination. He actually starts talking to people who were themselves involved in the genocide and does it in a way that treats them as human beings.
That sounds great. And
it's amazing.
Tonight?
Tonight at the Screen.
What else opens? Oh, Carlos. The biopic about Carlos the Jackal, played by Edgar Ramirez. That's opening too. There's a review in the Pasatiempo today. A Four Chili review.
Four Chili review?
Four
Excellent.
Chili review.
Well, look at that. The music is on. That means it's time to go.
Yay, because I smell that bacon. I need to get some breakfast.
Yes, bacon is delicious. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us every Friday speaking of the arts. And thank you for getting up, even though you're not feeling so good, and coming all the way in.
That's great.
Feeling
I wouldn't
so
miss
well.
It for the world.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz. Hasta la vista. Have a great weekend, Rob DeWalt.
You too.
Have
Stay
a great
warm.
Weekend, our beautiful listeners out there in Radio Land. And, hey, don't forget to support KSFR during our fun drive. We're doing a one-week fun drive next week. I'm going to have some fun programs on Tuesday. We're going to be doing cats versus dogs, which is better.
Oh, well.
Which is better?
Dogs.
That's what I thought. But we will find out, and you can weigh in on that topic of pressing contemporary concern. Anyway, have a great weekend. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.